From the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, August 4th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Stocks enter the day near a two-month high.
The Bank of England forecasts to raise rates by the most in more than a quarter of a century.
The Senate overwhelmingly approves the addition of Finland and Sweden to NATO.
Tesla holds a key shareholder meeting.
And Walmart is the latest company to cut jobs.
New York Mayor Adams frees up $100 million for city schools, plus the jury is deliberating in the Alex Jones defamation case. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Garrett Cole roughed up in a Yankee loss to Seattle. The Mets won easily. They start a big series with Atlanta tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are higher this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures, they're up about 7 points. Dow futures up 31, and NASDAQ futures up 26. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.72%, and the yield on the 2-year, 3.09%. Nathan.
Karen, the S&P enters today's session near a 2-month high. The tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 index is at its highest level since early May. Corporate earnings and healthy economic data are helping to lift sentiment. We get more from Northern Trust Bank Chief Investment Officer Katie Nixon.
I think we came into this really with such low sentiment, with such a negative positioning, that we were due for a nice bounce like we've seen last week and sort of into this week. But is it sustainable in the face of a Fed that appears to be hell-bent on not stopping?
Katie Nixon of Northern Trust says the Fed may have to reverse course sooner than expected. That's because she says inflation is slowing.
Meantime, Nathan, the Fed continues to talk tough on inflation. Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari is the latest to say it's a top priority.
We are laser-focused on getting inflation down. And, whether we are technically in a recession right now or not, it doesn't change my analysis. I'm focused on inflation and where inflation is likely going. And that is going to be, that to me is what we have, my opinion is what we have to focus on right now.
Neel Kashkari says a Fed rate cut next year is, quote, a very unlikely scenario.
Well, monetary policy is also in focus overseas, Karen, as the Bank of England gets set to hike interest rates in just about 1 hour. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Lizzie Burden in London.
A Bank of England rate rise today is all but a done deal. The debate surrounds whether the UK central bank will, as Bloomberg Economics expects, hike by a half point for the first time in its independent history. The decision comes against a backdrop of inflation that's not only at a new 40-year high, but headed toward double digits in the fall. Officials are also expected to provide more detail on active quantitative tightening. In London, I'm Lizzie Burden, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Lizzie, thank you. Well, turning to politics now, Finland and Sweden are getting a boost in their bid to join NATO. The U.S. Senate has now ratified their membership in the alliance, and Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The intention is to bolster NATO after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The vote, pretty amazing in a body that hasn't been able to agree on much of anything. The vote 95-1, far exceeding the two-thirds majority required. Now, Finland will join Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland as NATO countries that share a land border with Russia. Turkey has been on and off about the idea and could still try to block the move. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says Putin has strengthened NATO. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Let's turn to corporate news now, where Tesla is in focus. The electric car maker holds its highly anticipated shareholder meeting today. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The automaker calls its annual shareholders meeting a cyber roundup. And this year, the biggest item on the roundup agenda is the proposed 3-for-1 stock split, which would be the second one in as many years for Tesla after a 5-for-1 split in August of 2020. Now, the idea is to make shares, which will begin the trading day just above $922 apiece, more affordable to small dollar retail investors and retail options traders, not just institutional investors. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
right, Tom, thank you. Elsewhere on Wall Street today, the wave of corporate downsizing continues. There's word now that Walmart is cutting about 200 corporate jobs, and we get the details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The retail giant is contending with rising costs, bloated inventories, and weakening demand for general merchandise. Sources say the company will also be adding an unspecified number of jobs in areas such as e-commerce, health and wellness, supply chain, and ad sales. Walmart is tightening its belt a week after slashing its annual profit forecast for the second time in less than 3 months. American consumers are buying less clothing and durable goods as soaring inflation raises the cost of food and basic items. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Coming up today, the earnings parade continues. 50 companies report, including Lyft, on the heels of Uber's better-than-expected results. But Lyft is not Uber. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger explains.
Lyft executives may lower the company's full-year guidance during their conference call. Bloomberg Intelligence says sensor tower data indicate competition with Uber has been fierce. Downloads of the Lyft app declined year over year, and the increase in the number of monthly active users paled in comparison with Uber. BI speculates Lyft may seek partnerships similar to Amazon Grubhub to increase trip frequency. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Well, we are seeing some stocks on the move this morning following earnings. We get the latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, earnings from guidance from Clorox fell well short of analyst estimates. Shares were down 6% after the company gave weaker than expected guidance for fiscal year 2023. Shares of the mobile games company Skillz tumbling in the pre-market. They're down 11%. They cut their full year guidance for revenue. And shares of Lucid sinking 12% after the luxury electric vehicle startup cut in half this year's production target. Lucid's been dealing with supply chain snags and resulting production hiccups. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Futures are getting some traction at the moment. S&P futures right now up 10 points. Dow futures up 47. NASDAQ futures are gaining 50 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 6/32. The yield, 2.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.10. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We are at 78 degrees in Central Park, getting ready for a heat advisory to kick in later this morning. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. China says it has conducted precision missile strikes in the Taiwan Strait as part of military exercises surrounding the island. China test-fired 11 missiles into the sea. The drills were prompted by a visit to the island by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi this week. Beijing earlier warned airlines to avoid danger zones around Taiwan. As you mentioned, Nathan, it's going to be a hot one in the New York area. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin has the latest.
Good morning, Michael. The Bermuda High is going to set the tri-state area up for some warm weather over the course of the next several days. In fact, it's looking like the first half of August is going to be on the warm side. Today, the city and the surrounding areas close to 95, but it feels more like 100 with the humidity. That's why that heat advisory is in effect. We're in the 90s again tomorrow, close to 90 Saturday and Sunday. Michael?
Rob, thanks. New York City Mayor Eric Adams pushed back against criticism that his continual focus on crime at press conferences is feeding into an overblown narrative that the city is unsafe. Incidents of violent crime remain at historic lows in the city, but 75% of New Yorkers said crime was a very serious problem in a February poll. Adams spoke to reporters yesterday.
The numbers continue to trend in the wrong direction. Continue to show that these repeated offenders are coming out. It would be irresponsible of me to ignore what is happening right now on our streets every day. Every day we're seeing this dangerous people repeatedly committing these actions.
Meanwhile, Mayor Adams is freeing up $100 million in federal stimulus money for New York schools. It comes after an outcry among parents and some educators over the city's plan to cut hundreds of millions of dollars in funding for schools in the current fiscal year. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones says he was irresponsible to declare the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre a hoax.
It's 100% real, as I said on the radio yesterday. As I said here yesterday, it's 100% real.
A jury in Austin, Texas began deliberating on how much the InfoWars host owes the parents of one of the children killed in the 2012 attack in Newtown, Connecticut. Testimony wrapped up after a bombshell from the plaintiff's lawyer revealed that Jones's lawyers mistakenly handed over 2 years of text messages from Jones's phone. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. The Mets added some players before the trade deadline. Maybe not big names, although their new left-handed hitting DH is certainly a big guy. Daniel Vogelbach generously listed at 270 pounds. He came up from the fifth inning in Washington.
2-2 on the way from Weems. And Vogelbach gets one in the air along the right field line. Back toward the corner. Back goes Palacios. And it's out of here! A grand slam for Daniel Vogelbach! His first home run as a Met, and he scores four.
Mark Cohen had the call on SNY. Mets took a 9-0 lead to the ninth inning. Another new Met is reliever Michael Givens. He made his Mets debut. It did not go well. Got just two outs, gave up five runs, but the Mets beat the Nationals 9-5. They've won eight of the last nine. Atlanta lost, which means the big Mets-Braves five-game series that begins tonight at Citi Field starts with the Mets 3.5 games ahead. At the stadium, Seattle beat the Yankees 7-3, did almost all the damage. Top of the first inning, six runs on three Mariners, home runs off Garrett Cole. The second time this season, he has served up three homers in the first. So Seattle, just the fourth opposing team to win a series in the Bronx. And what could hardly be called a surprise, the NFL will appeal the ruling on the Deshaun Watson suspension for sexual misconduct. The independent arbitrator called for it to be six games, but the appeal process, as agreed to by both sides in the labor deal, calls for the commissioner, or at least someone designated by Roger Goodell, to be the one to rule on the appeal. So the NFL is appealing basically to themselves. They would then be allowed to make the suspension longer. The Players Association may then follow with a lawsuit. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. This red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. Credit Suisse Group executives are reportedly discussing cutting thousands of jobs around the world as the struggling European lender tries to slash its overall cost base by an additional $1 billion. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Yeah, it's going to be hot, mid-90s today and tomorrow. The heat advisory kicks in at 11 a.m., lasts till 8 p.m. Friday. We'll be back in the upper 80s by Saturday. Right now, 78 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are nudging higher as investors assess the corporate profit outlook while wagers on further Federal Reserve interest rate hikes lift Treasury yields. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 12 points, Dow futures up 70, NASDAQ futures up 60, the DAX in Germany is up 1.3%, and the 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.72%, yield on the 2-year 3.10%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1% or 98 cents. At $91.63 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.1% or $18.90 at $17.95.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0191 against the dollar. British pound 1.2186. The yen 134.14. And Bitcoin down 1.7% at $22,920. And Credit Suisse Group executives discussing cutting thousands of jobs globally. This is a struggling European lender seeks to slash its overall cost base by an additional $1 billion. And today we also are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the trade balance. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Today, China fired 11 missiles into the sea surrounding Taiwan. It is in response to a visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to the island Beijing claims as its own territory. The Senate ratified adding Sweden and Finland to NATO, a move intended to bolster the military alliance after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Closing arguments in WNBA star Brittany Griner's cannabis possession case in Russia are set for today. In baseball, the Mariners beat the Yankees 7-3. The Mets beat the Nationals 9-5. The Red Sox and Giants lost. The Orioles and A's won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Bloomberg News Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We are coming up to 6:20 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth joins us ahead of the Bank of England decision, now just about 40 minutes away. Marcus, I love the headline on your piece ahead of this policy meeting. The Bank of England needs a Big Mac and fries. Do you think policymakers have gotten the message from the rising fast food menu, Marcus?
Yeah, it never accused me of clickbait, eh? But I mean, the point is that they've upped the price of a burger here, a cheeseburger, by 20%. And though inflation will probably drop back a bit next year, whatever, the chances of a burger going back to below a pound, 99p, it's never going to happen. That's gone forever. And that's the point. You know, inflation is embedding and expectations are rising. Just as time goes by and the feed through for energy prices comes into things like food and then obviously wages. So, yes, the Bank of England should raise 50 basis points today. I'd be very surprised if it doesn't. But I have some very good excuses if it only does 25. And that would be very worrying because it would have to be predicated on some very poor forward economic forecasts, which I don't think will happen. But that's why I think 50 is pretty much nailed on. And it would be good to see them. This would be the biggest move they've done for 27 years, but obviously follows the more aggressive, even Fed, and even the surprisingly aggressive European Central Bank just a week or so ago. So it's they're following in line with everyone else.
Does the BOE stick with 50 basis points going forward, or is this just a one and done, do you think?
I think it's a one and go down back to the normal 25. I think we'll probably get two or three more of them the rest of this year, get over 2%, maybe 2.25%, somewhere around there, and then probably pause. They're also starting quantitative tightening. We think we'll get some details on that today and the final decision we made in September, but it'll be a gradual one. But they're going to, you know, I think the 50 basis point needs to be done now, but I think they'll probably hold back and do 25s now. And the only rider to that, if we do get a very aggressive fiscal package from the next Conservative Prime Minister, then maybe they feel they need to counteract that and there might be another 50, but it's all up in the air. We think we're going to get to about 2.25, 2.5. Terminal rates, so midway between what the Fed and the ECB are going to do.
Is tighter policy going to be enough to rein in the kind of inflation we are seeing in the UK, where you're dealing with a cost of living crisis? And, of course, there's probably a lot of the same dynamics that continental Europe is dealing with the war in Ukraine affecting energy prices.
Well, we're caught in the trap between the pressures of Europe and the pressures similar as the U.S. has on a very tight labor market. So it makes some things a little bit more acute. But the good news about the UK economy, very much like the U.S. economy, it's got very strong banking system, big savings in both household and corporates, and that very low unemployment is a good place to start a downturn from, if you know what I mean. In the sense, I don't think it will be a very deep or nasty recession, if even there is one. I think we'll bumble along around zero growth for the next few quarters, and inflation will come down almost of its own accord, and I don't think there's much the Bank of England can do about it. They've got to act to try and calm some of those inflationary expectations feeding to labor, wage rises, but the reality is this is external influences, energy, and they've got very little control over it.
How much of an external influence is politics here? Is there a feeling that the BOE needs to get aggressive now before there's the leadership change in September?
No-ish. I mean, obviously, in the back of their minds, I don't think they can act on that in the sense that they really can't. All their economic forecasts, of course, are all rubbish but they're all going to be changed when the government does do another big fiscal stimulus. So a lot of these economic forecasts you're seeing out on the UK at the moment are just simply wrong. And then everyone knows they're wrong because you can't plug in something you don't know, which is going to happen very soon, and another big fiscal stimulus. Nonetheless, I think the Bank of England will, if it comes between doing zero or 25 or whatever it may be in the future, and they think the fiscal stimulus is too strong, they're going to err on the side of the caution. The good news is the government has saved them from being blamed for a recession by stepping in on the fiscal side, which means the Bank of England can get on and do what it should be doing, which is on monetary policy, which is calming inflation. They should have done it ages ago, but at least they're getting on with it now.
And they will get on with it one way or the other in about 36 minutes when we get that decision from the BOE. Marcus Ashworth, Bloomberg opinion columnist, thanks for being with us ahead of that decision. Get more Bloomberg opinion, bloomberg.com/opinion, OPIN. Go on the Bloomberg terminal where you can get even more great headlines about Big Macs and fries. S&P futures up 13 points. Dow futures up 72. NASDAQ futures up 62 points. So adding to gains as we get closer to the market open on Wall Street. 10-year Treasuries down 5/32. The yield 2.72%. Just ahead, the Fed still talking tough on inflation. And Credit Suisse looking at sweeping job cuts. Five things you need to know to start your day coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Heat advisory kicks in at 11 a.m. Lasts till 8 p.m. Friday. Today, tomorrow, near 95 degrees. We'll be in the upper 80s by Saturday. Right now, 78 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 2.83% to 3.83%. Their clients can also earn extra income by lending their fully paid shares of stock. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, the S&P 500 enters the session near a two-month high. The tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 index is at its highest level since early May. Corporate earnings and healthy economic data has helped to lift sentiment. But Alifa Dorewala, managing director at Rock Creek, says she's still proceeding with caution.
There could be another severe downturn, another leg to go in the S&P, and a lot of that is some of the big tech companies that could continue to get hurt because of the strong dollar and what will happen to earnings in the coming quarters if that strong dollar remains.
Rock Creek's Alifa Dorewala says the recent pivot into tech might be short-lived.
Well, meantime, Karen, Fed officials keep talking tough on inflation. Minneapolis President Neel Kashkari says the Federal Reserve will keep doing everything in its power to cool inflation.
Some financial markets are indicating that they expect us to cut interest rates next year. I don't want to say it's impossible, but it seems like that's a very unlikely scenario right now, given what I know about the underlying inflation dynamics. A more likely scenario is we would continue raising and then we would sit there.
Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari says whether the U.S. is technically in recession right now or not does not change his analysis.
Well, monetary policy is in focus overseas, Nathan. The Bank of England gets set to hike interest rates shortly and could raise rates a half a point.
Well, staying in Europe, Karen, executives from Swiss bank Credit Suisse are thinking of reducing thousands of roles globally. At least they're talking about it as the struggling European lender seeks to slash its overall cost base by another $1 billion.
Meanwhile, Nathan, the world's largest retailer, is announcing job cuts. More in this live report from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Karen, Walmart eliminating about 200 corporate jobs. Sources tell Bloomberg the cuts include staffers in last-mile delivery and merchandising. More cuts may be on the way in areas such as e-commerce. The belt tightening comes a week after slashing its annual profit forecast for the second time in less than 3 months. Walmart has had to cut prices on general merchandise as their customers pull back on spending. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. And more corporate news here in the States. Tesla holds its annual shareholder meeting today.
And that's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Again, futures are higher this morning, and straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 77 degrees in Central Park. Still got that crash eastbound Cross Bronx at Jerome Avenue. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Today, China fired 11 missiles into the sea around Taiwan. The drills were prompted by a visit to the island by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi this week. Speculation rises about China's threat to attack the self-governing island republic. A heat advisory is in effect for the tri-state area because of dangerously hot and humid conditions. Today's high in New York will be around 94 degrees. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says he's freeing up $100 million in federal stimulus money for New York City schools. It comes after an outcry among parents and some educators over the city's plan to cut hundreds of millions of dollars in funding for schools in the current fiscal year. The Adams administration's reversal on school funding comes a day before a hearing planned in a lawsuit filed by parents and teachers in an effort to stop the budget cuts. Meanwhile, Mayor Adams pushed back against criticism that his continual focus on crime at press conferences since taking office is feeding into an overblown narrative that the city is unsafe.
This conversation is about the small number of dangerous people who are repeated recidivists, who have made up their minds that we can do whatever we want in this city and nothing is going to happen to us.
Adams says the real issue is how much coverage of crime there is by the media. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones now concedes the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012 was 100% real. A jury is now deliberating Jones's punishment in a defamation case. The parents of a 6-year-old victim of the shooting successfully sued the InfoWars host for claiming the shooting was a hoax. During testimony while Jones was on the stand, there was a startling revelation from the lawyer of the parents. Mark Bankston accused Jones of lying and trying to hide evidence, including text messages and emails about Sandy Hook.
12 days ago, your attorneys messed up and sent me an entire digital copy of your entire cell phone with every text message you've sent for the past 2 years, and when informed, did not take any steps to identify it as privileged or protect it in any way. And as of 2 days ago, it fell free and clear into my possession. And that is how I know you lied to me when you said you didn't have text messages about Sandy Hook. Did you know that?
I told you the truth. This is your Perry Mason moment.
Attorney Mark Bankston says Jones made the lives of the parents a living hell. New Jersey restaurants received a 2-year extension to continue operating outdoors. Governor Phil Murphy says it's a pandemic precaution that remains necessary to boost small businesses. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stanshower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, Gerrit Cole is the Yankees ace. When the playoffs begin, he'll undoubtedly be on the mound. He's had an all-star season, but he's had a few clunkers. There's some fear of Yankee fans. What if that happens in the postseason? There was that night in June in Minnesota when, for the first time in Cole's career, he gave up 3 home runs in the first inning, 3 in a row. First inning yesterday at the stadium, a 3-run homer by Eugenio Suarez, a solo shot for Carlos Santana, and a 2-run blast by the Mariners' Jared Kelenic. That's the former Mets farmhand who's batting 133. Cole did settle down after that, but Seattle won the game 7-3, and Cole was asked about that first inning.
I have a pretty vivid recollection. I think it's sometimes a bit easier to remember the bad stuff than it is the good stuff. But there were some bad pitch selections. There were some bad pitches. We got punished for it again.
Luis Castillo got the win in his Mariners debut. He also beat the Yankees in the Bronx in a game just a few weeks ago while he was with the Reds. He just got traded. The Yankees had only 5 hits. They're off tonight. They are in St. Louis tomorrow. The Mets tonight host Atlanta. It's the start of a huge 5-game weekend series at Citi Field. They'll play a doubleheader on Saturday, and if either team should win 3 or 4 of the 5, that's a 3-game swing. Mets currently 3.5 games ahead of the Braves. They won in Washington 9-5. Daniel Vogelbach's first Met homer was a grand slam. The game was 9-0 for the Nets. The Nats scored 5-9. NFL just hit the Dolphins, took away their first-round draft pick next year for tampering while trying to acquire Tom Brady. And the tampering began not when Brady was with Tampa Bay. It goes back to 2019 while Brady was still with the Patriots. Bill Belichick asked about that yesterday, declined comment. Phil Mickelson, one of 11 golfers, joined the new LIV Tour, now suing the PGA for antitrust violations. John Stanshower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. To 6:38 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg's Laura Wright joins us live ahead of the market open, watching Credit Suisse shares, Laura, after news of the latest cost-cutting plan that the bank's at least considering.
Yeah, and the market likes what it heard. Credit Suisse up around 2.5% in the pre-market. It's U.S. listed depository, that is. Now, the bank announced the appointment of a new CEO last week, Ulrich Körner, after the stock fell 60% under his predecessor, Thomas Gottstein. The bank has been tied to numerous scandals over the last 18 months, raising the question of poor risk management. Now, there's a Bloomberg scoop out this morning that Credit Suisse are discussing an aggressive plan to reduce their headcount globally. I was actually in the room with Manus Krani last week for the earnings interview in Zurich when the chairman revealed the launch of a so-called strategic review, which Manus presciently called a way for people to strategically evaluate their careers.
Yeah, some more strategic evaluation going on this morning, apparently. We also got earnings this morning from Eli Lilly, and they came in a little disappointing.
Yes, a little disappointing, and ahead of the bell, the stock is down 6%. This is a pharmaceutical company with a market cap of almost $300 billion. It was a miss on revenue for the second quarter, but importantly, the guidance for full-year adjusted EPS was revised downward to a range of $7.90 to $8.05 from a previous range that was around $8.15 to $8.13.
And just quickly, Laura, what other stocks are you watching this morning?
I'm looking at Lucid, the electric vehicle maker. It's down 12% ahead of the open. Now, Lucid lowered their 2022 production target to 6,000 to 7,000 cars, down from a previous goal of between 12,000 and 14,000 cars. This is all because of supply chain congestion. They can't get the parts they need. But at least it's not a demand issue.
All right, Bloomberg's Laura Wright with us this morning ahead of the pre-market. We also got earnings just crossing the Bloomberg terminal from Alibaba, a big beat on first quarter revenue. Alibaba ADRs are higher by 7% on that earnings beat. Right now, S&P futures are up 16 points. Dow futures up 94. NASDAQ futures higher by 83 points. 10-year treasuries down 7/32. The yield 2.73%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. We're going up to near 95 on a hot and humid Thursday. Heat advisory kicks in 11 this morning, lasts till 8 tomorrow night. Right now, 78 in Central Park.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are on the rise this morning with S&P futures up about 13 points, Dow futures up 67, and NASDAQ futures up 68. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, the DAX in Germany is up 1.25% this morning. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.73%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.10%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 79 cents at $91.45 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.2% or $21.60 at $17.98 an ounce. The euro 1.0195 against the dollar. British pound 1.2193. And the yen this morning, 134.17. Watching Bitcoin, it's down 2.1%. It's at $22,850. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi met with the South Korean counterparts in Seoul to reassure a strong alliance between the two countries. It comes as China conducted military exercises around Taiwan in response to Pelosi's visit. Flags are at half-staff at the U.S. Capitol after an Indiana congresswoman was killed in a car crash. Republican Jackie Walorski, who was 58, died in the accident in northern Indiana, along with two of her staffers. In baseball, the Mariners beat the Yankees 7-3. The Mets beat the Nationals 9-5. The Red Sox and Giants lost. The Orioles and A's won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, thanks, Michael. It is 6:48 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and a top 10 in the nation for engineering by Money.com. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Bloomberg News has learned that Apple expects to delay its next major iPad software update by about a month. For the last several years, the tech giant has released major iPad and iPhone software updates at the same time in September. This time around, sources say Apple plans to put out its iOS 16 during the usual period, but not launch iPad OS 16 until October. The delay of the software is due at least in part to an ambitious effort to overhaul the iPad's multitasking capabilities. A semiconductor shortage that has slammed the auto industry dented production at Japan's top automaker. Toyota's profit fell nearly 18% in the April-June quarter from the year before. Toyota officials apologized to customers who've been waiting for their cars after putting in their orders. Some have waited so long, the vehicle went through a model change in the meantime. And the Transportation Department is proposing to require airlines to offer passengers a refund if their flight schedule is changed significantly or the airline makes major changes to their itinerary. The proposed rule would require airlines to give a refund if their departure or arrival time changes by 3 hours or more for a domestic flight or at least 6 hours for an international one. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the White House lobbying Democrats against a bid to deepen ties to Taiwan as China begins live-fire drills around the island. The Senate ratifying NATO membership for Finland and Sweden. Senator Sinema looking for tax changes in the Democrats' tax and energy bill. And Washington mourning a congresswoman from Indiana killed in a car crash. Let's bring back Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick for more on all these stories as we continue to monitor the tensions in the Taiwan Strait and around Taiwan more generally. Jack, what is the reaction in Washington as Speaker Pelosi's Asian trip continues and China keeps up these live fire drills?
Well, there's a bit of a divide in Washington. You know, the generally somewhat of a hawkish stance on China tends to get bipartisan support lately. But there has been a divide between Pelosi and the Biden administration. President Biden mentioning that the military had had concerns about this trip in the first place. The White House has lobbied against, at least at this point, a bill that would formalize the U.S.'s relationship with Taiwan, in formalized Taiwan's standing as a non-NATO ally. That wouldn't really change the relationship between these two countries, but there seems to be a bit of a timing issue and a concern about how much the U.S.'s actions are rankling the Chinese government. So the White House has pushed back on a bill that has been delayed. There's supposed to be a committee vote yesterday. So it's clearly there's some concern about exactly how the Chinese government is going to react to Speaker Pelosi's trip, and the White House in particular wants to move carefully in terms of not prodding them more than is necessary right now.
Yeah, we've heard from the Chinese Foreign Ministry going so far as to say Speaker Pelosi's trip was a violation of the One China policy. But if we do see this bill deepening Taiwan ties move forward, Jack, would it really be a change in the U.S. stance toward Taiwan?
No, that's the thing. This would formalize essentially what has been the U.S. relationship with Taiwan for decades. But that gets at the difficult position that Democrats, especially right now, find themselves in with Speaker Pelosi wanting to take a stand, make a statement, visit Taiwan, the Biden administration having concerns about that, and then questioning what kind of message they send to the Chinese government. So it doesn't seem to necessarily be entirely focused on the substance of the bill as much as the public message and the signal it sends to China at this time in the context of Pelosi's visit.
No, it looks like a message is being sent now to Russia, Jack, with the Senate overwhelmingly ratifying Finland and Sweden joining NATO.
Yes, an overwhelming vote really yesterday, 95-1. That makes the U.S. the 23rd country to take a vote to ratify that step, leaving 7 left. So they are moving forward on that. 95-1. Again, Josh Hawley, the Republican from Missouri, was the only one against it. Rand Paul voted present. So a really overwhelming vote yesterday. And yes, very much in the context of sending a message to Russia. And I think there's some maybe motivation to show that this is happening because of Russia and Russia's concern about NATO, or at least their alleged concern about NATO and that being an issue involved in their invasion of Ukraine. I think you see many Americans, Republicans and Democrats in Congress wanting to push back and say that Russia's actions have actually led themselves to an expansion of NATO.
And if nothing else, a rare moment of near unanimity in the Senate. We don't see that too often, and we're not seeing it really when it comes to this Democratic tax and spending bill, the Inflation Reduction Act. We're getting a little bit better sense of where Senator Sinema may come down on it.
Yeah, we've known she had concerns about this measure to close or narrow the carried interest loophole that would effectively raise taxes on fund managers that have been paying them as carried interest rather than income. We knew that was going to be an issue. It doesn't raise a massive amount of revenue in the context of this bill. If it had to be dropped, it wouldn't necessarily be the breaking point. So Sinema's pushing back on that. She evidently does have some concerns about the bigger revenue raiser in this, the 15% corporate minimum rate. Not necessarily the fundamental idea of it, but there's an ongoing conversation about exactly who it applies to, if there are exceptions to that, depending on some tax write-offs. So Sinema has become the big X factor here, with Senator Joe Manchin obviously announcing this deal. And yes, speaking of unity, this is something where there's not going to be Republican support. So in order to get this through the process, they're taking this bill through that needs a simple majority. They need 50 out of 50 Senate Democrats to all circle the wagons. And essentially anybody could have veto power on the Democratic side. And right now the eyes have all turned to Senator Sinema.
And finally, Jack, in our last minute here, some sad news suddenly with the death of a congresswoman from Indiana.
Yes, Jackie Walorski from Indiana, the Republican member of the House, died in a car crash, as well as two of her staffers, Emma Thompson and Zachary Potts, who are on the road with her. The sheriff's office there said that another car on the highway went over the middle line and went directly into them. Very sad, very sudden. A lot of feedback from members of the House on both sides of the aisle talking about Congresswoman Walorski being someone they really liked and liked to work with. So a bit of a shocking moment yesterday when that happened.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Jack Fitzpatrick, as always, thank you, Jack, for the update from the nation's capital. Read more about all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures gaining ground this morning, now up 10 points. Dow futures up 53. NASDAQ futures leading the gains now, up 64 points for a gain of 0.5% following the tech-led rally yesterday. 10-year treasuries down 7/32. The yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year 3.11%. Attention turns to London now with the Bank of England due to make a decision in 2 minutes. We'll have it for you in Bloomberg Surveillance next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.